I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Dr. Cami Bellick, is an ANCB board-certified naturopathic doctor with 13 years' experience, the author of 3 health books, and a leading happy hormone doctor. She specializes in teaching others how to unleash your happy hormones naturally, specializing in happy hormone balancing. Cami's passions are helping others improve their health and live happy, whole lives. She lives in Colorado and loves the outdoors and climbing 14,000-foot mountains. More information can be found at www.makinghappyhappen.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Cami, and I look forward to hearing about our happy hormones. Now, Dr. Cami, you are known nationally as the happy hormone doctor. What are our happy hormones?
Yes, we have many happy hormones. And so when I say that and I talk about hormones, most people think about estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. And those are hormones, but we also have other ones that regulate our moods. So a lot of people don't understand that our hormones actually can make us happy, or they can make us anxious, or they can make us angry. And what I look at is how we can balance our hormones in order to stay happy and be happier. Because the feelings that we have every day are really nothing more than just chemical reactions of our hormones moving around and taking place inside our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I get always is, can someone be happy if these hormones are really balanced? And the answer is yes. If you are taking care of your thyroid and your adrenal glands and all of the glands that make your hormones and your balance, then you will feel happier.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 5 major ones that people know about. And so what I look at is like serotonin. It's actually called our happiness hormone. And our serotonin is actually what regulates our mood, and it prevents depression. It actually makes you feel happy. So if we have enough of that serotonin in our body, and then our hormones like endorphins and our dopamine and even our stress hormones like cortisol, if they're all balanced, then we're going to feel a lot more balanced and a lot happier.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Then you say that 40 million Americans have a biochemical imbalance that is causing depression and fatigue. Can you explain this to me?
Yes. So I see many patients, and the national average is actually 40 million people have a biochemical imbalance, which is really sad to me because it's really easy to fix when you know how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is what we call adrenal fatigue, and we'll talk more about that. But when our adrenal glands, which are our stress glands, get so stressed that they're not able to work for us,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a downward spiral, and they're not making our energy hormones, and they're not making our adapting hormones to help us adapt with the day. And we get so into a downward spiral because everyone nowadays is just way too stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Stress
mm-hmm.
is actually the number one cause of hospital visits and the number one cause of the reason that I see people and that I wrote my book. It's
mm-hmm.
just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just stress of physical stress, but everyone is in like a mental stress, a physical stress, a chemical stress. Our bodies are just really low and depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because our food is depleted, and even when we think we're eating really healthy, we're not getting what we need from our food. And the other part is that we just have way too many demands on us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so all those demands, making our body work, burning the candles at the both ends, so to speak, like everybody is doing, you know, meeting deadlines. Recently, I've been taking care of my husband's grandparents, and I've realized how so many people are stressed because they're not only just stressed about their life, but they're also taking care of kids and then maybe taking care of their parents or grandparents as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have a lot of stress and a lot of weight on their shoulders, and if we're not helping our body to stay strong, then it becomes weak.
Right.
And when we become weak, that's when we go out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Then, Dr. Cammie, can you tell us what the endocrine system is and how it plays a role in our brain balance?
Yes. So our endocrine system is the system in our body that regulates all our hormones. Most people know about the thyroid, and that's just one gland in the entire endocrine system. We also have two glands in our brain. They're called the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland, and they are like the master glands of our body. They're the part of the brain that tells our hormones what to do. And then we also have the pancreas that controls our blood sugar and our insulin and some cortisol. And then our adrenal glands is the one thing that I really look at because they are a stress gland. And then also we have the reproductive glands are part of it too. So the ovaries and the testes, the prostate, all of that play into our hormone balance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if one of those glands is off, it usually causes all of the glands to be off. So most doctors just look at the thyroid or test the thyroid, and I see so many patients that come in and say, I still don't feel good, but my blood test came back and I'm in a normal range.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be that your body is working really hard to stay in that normal range, and it's inflamed, but it's still doing its job. Or it can be that other glands are off as well. So even if your blood test comes back, it doesn't always mean that everything is okay if you're still not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have every gland checked because they all work together.
Right. It's a big problem for a lot of people.
It's a big problem, yeah. I like to tell my patients that our bodies work like a symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And every instrument has to be playing at just the right time, at just the right noise or just the right speed.
Mm-hmm.
And our hormones are all the same. So if these glands are not playing at the right time or not making hormones at the right time or at the right amount, then you're going to have an imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really complicated, but it's not that complicated.
Then, Dr.
Yeah.
Cammie, you mentioned adrenals. What are the signs and symptoms of adrenal imbalance?
Yes. So adrenal imbalance, first let me explain our adrenal glands just a little bit. So if you're feeling tired for no reason or you don't get enough sleep at night and you get up in the morning or you have trouble getting up in the morning even when you've gotten good sleep, that's a sign that your adrenals are fatigued or just tired. Another sign that I see in a lot of my patients is that they're feeling run down or just overwhelmed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Their gas tank is out of gas, and they're just tired, they're fatigued, they have no energy, they have difficulty bouncing back from stress, or if they've gotten sick or an illness, then they have the difficulty healing and a difficulty, you know, bouncing back. Another thing is food cravings. So people that crave salty or really sweet snacks all the time possibly have an adrenal imbalance. And then another sign is what's pretty common with people is they actually feel more awake between 6 and 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So all day they're exhausted, and then right before they go to bed, they feel more alert or more energetic. Those can all be signs of adrenal fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it can happen to anyone, anyone at any age. I see teenagers with it. I see anyone can be susceptible to adrenal fatigue because it can come from stress. So an illness, a life crisis, a difficult situation really drains the adrenals. And then there's other factors that pour into it. So poor diet, poor lifestyle, substance abuse, even just abusing too much caffeine or alcohol, not getting enough sleep, just too much pressure. One thing that I really see, too, where we live, there's a lot of shift work,
mm-hmm.
and shift work really plays into it because when you force your body to stay up all night and then your sleep schedule is off, that can play into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that play into it, but basically it's just too much stress on your body mentally or physically.
Does adrenal imbalance come and go, or does it last until there's some intervention?
Yeah, it can come and go if your body's able to fix it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and you lessen
mm-hmm.
the stress on your body. So
mm-hmm.
if you're getting enough sleep, if you're getting enough vitamins and minerals. Minerals are the biggest thing that I like to tell people to start taking if you're feeling tired or feeling stressed. Magnesium and calcium, or a good just mineral supplement from your health food store, is excellent because the minerals really help repair your endocrine system. So for people that are stressed all the time, it doesn't really come and go. It just gets worse and worse. But if you're taking a break, if you're taking a vacation, if you're eating good, it can definitely be a little roller coaster up and down of coming and going.
It's interesting, the role of magnesium and potassium, because I had an episode of atrial fibrillation in December, the first I've ever had. And one of the things that Dr. Sinatra recommends is a lot of magnesium, but I also find that I need a lot of potassium. And if I don't get enough potassium, then my legs start feeling funny. And then once I, you know, up the potassium, I up the calcium, and I make sure every day I get about 600 or 700 milligram of magnesium, you know, then I'm fine. But if I ease up on any of these, then my legs start feeling funny. And calcium seems to play a role in all of this, too. So as you said, the minerals are so important in our bodies. And I never realized this until I got older, you know. But you're saying that this also affects younger people that are stressed. So that's...
It affects everyone because our younger generation is under so much stress. And they're... Our food is just depleted in minerals. So, you know, when you were a kid, when I were a kid, we ate vegetables that were from a crop rotation, and the food was able to get the minerals out of the dirt. And our cattle had mineral blocks set out for them, and our, you know, we got minerals from our food. Well, now our food is just so depleted, and we're mass-producing food at such a high rate to feed America because we have to, that our younger generation is really, really depleted in all nutrients. And they're stressed. I see teenagers that are in high school that are stressed with just the demands of high school and sports, and they put so much stress on their bodies that they're already out of balance at 15 years old. It's really, it's really sad, but at least there's help out there.
Why is stress so bad for our cortisol levels?
Yes, so cortisol is our stress hormone, and it's made in those adrenal glands, our stress glands. And the cortisol helps regulate our blood pressure and our immune system during crisis. So it's that flight or fight hormone. And naturally, we have cortisol for a reason. We wake up with it. That's what we get our energy from in the morning. So we wake up with it, and it should slowly decrease through the day. So it's not a bad hormone. But what happens is the trouble is that relentless stress can keep us in a survival mode all the time. So when we're stressed with a demand, a deadline, a to-do list, taking care of kids, everything you have to do for that day, whatever it is, that stress keeps you in that survival mechanism all the time. So you're churning in high gear. You're in that like flight or fight mode all the time. Your body's making cortisol. It's raising your blood pressure. It's saying, okay, are you going to run or are you going to fight back? Here's the energy for it. And the problem is that when the cortisol spikes, it actually can tell the body to eat something with a lot of calories in it, which is our survival tactic, just to give us energy. And so part of it is people gain weight with the cortisol stress hormone, the abdominal weight. And it also messes up our immune system, so it depresses our immune system, and it causes abnormalities in our blood sugar. So there's a lot of problems with the cortisol, and it causes inflammation in the body. So most people know that, like, your joints get inflamed. Every organ and gland can have inflammation in it, too. And that's what leads to the diseases that we're seeing more, the autoimmune diseases, cancer, diabetes. It all comes from having too much cortisol or too much of the stress hormone. So it's really important to get it under control.
Then what can we eat to support our hormone balance?
Yes. So there's several foods that fight stress. I really like to tell people to eat a good diet of protein and vegetables. I really like the low glycemic diets, the diets that aren't going to change your blood sugar. So it's really great to wake up in the morning and eat some protein. So that would be like some eggs or a protein shake with some greens in it. Vegetables and protein at every meal are what I like to tell people to do. That's the only way to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some calming foods, actually, or comfort foods. So most of the time when people are needing a comfort food, they go to carbohydrates or they go to chocolate. They go to something with sugar in it. But what I like to tell people is to go to some berries, like raspberries or blueberries. They have a lot of nutrients in it to help you fight stress and also balance your hormones. Asparagus is also really good. You can steam it or add it to your salad, and you can eat as many as you want. And asparagus are high in folate, which is really good to help you deal with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Avocados are another thing. I like to tell people to eat a lot of good fats with those protein and veggies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So avocados are something that's high in good fats. They also contain beta-carotene and vitamin E, and they have more lutein and folate than any other fruit. Avocados are actually a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of B vitamins. So they're really complete in everything that you need to deal with stress. I actually eat probably a half an avocado every day or every other day with something because it's really important. And also coconut oil is really good because it gives you the good omega-3s. I like to tell people to either eat omega-3s or take some omega-3 supplements because that will really help balance out your brain and your hormones as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So lots of protein, lots of veggies, lots of fats, good fats.
You know, I eat an avocado almost every day, and the reason I eat it is because it is one of the high potassium foods. And
yes.
So, and like baked potato, another high potassium. So I've learned what all the high potassium foods are because, as I say, my body needs a lot of potassium. An avocado, I didn't realize it had all of those other great benefits. I was taking it for the potassium.
Yes, it has many benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people that I see are on the low-fat diets, and really, low-fat diets are not healthy for us. Our bodies need fat. It's the carbohydrates that aren't good for us, and the genetically modified food and the wheat and the gluten and all of that is really what we should stay away from. But our bodies need fat to work. Our brain cells are actually 80% fat. And so in order for our brains to function and to be balanced and to keep making those neurotransmitters, the happy hormones, the serotonin, the dopamine so we can sleep and so we have energy, all of that, our bodies need fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that we get it. I actually eat like a handful of nuts every day or some nut butter, like almond butter. I love almond butter on an apple. That's one of my favorite snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add some extra fats because it really helps.
I recently went vegan because of the heart condition, and my naturopathic physician friend suggested this, and so I'm eating lots of nuts and nut butter and things like that to get my protein, because protein is one of the more difficult things to get. Plus, calcium is very difficult to get on the vegan diet, but I'm...
On a vegan diet.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm eating lots of nuts and grains and things like that now that I had not eaten a lot of these in the past, so it's a whole different way of living. So how do you know if stress is affecting our thyroid?
Yes, so many people have a thyroid issue, and stress can make the thyroid go haywire. So like I was talking about, we deal with stress every day of our life. So it doesn't matter what kind of stress it is, it can be bad news for our thyroid. Our thyroid is a gland. It's a really delicate gland in our neck area that senses when our body is out of whack. So whenever we are changing our cortisol levels, whenever the adrenals are working out of balance, that symphony not playing correctly, it will also affect the other glands.
Mm-hmm.
So stress exaggerates any thyroid condition. So say someone already has a hypothyroidism or it runs in the family. If there's too much stress and the body releases too much cortisol, then the cortisol will interfere with your thyroid hormone productions. That they're called the T3 and the T4 thyroid productions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll stimulate the thyroid to work harder to make more of the thyroid hormone. And then again, it's that downward spiral. So anyone that already has a little bit of a thyroid problem or a thyroid history can hurt their thyroid by adding more stress to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling worn down or your mood changes, like in a snap of a finger, you're happy one second, angry the next, or you're gaining weight, that could be a problem or a sign that you have a problem with your thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
So there are also signs of stress and hypothyroidism. So it's really good to rule out if you have an underactive thyroid or if the stress is just causing your thyroid to be imbalanced.
Mm-hmm. Then, Dr. Cammie, can you tell us about your book and your services and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes. So my book is called Happy the New Sexy, and it's a book all about hormone balancing. And I see patients all over the United States that I can do an online visit with, or I do saliva urine lab testing that I can mail you the test kit and you do at home. And it's a really great test because it shows where all your hormones are and where all those neurotransmitters are. And then we can see where you're at so we know how to balance you. And I can do that from anywhere. So my website is happythenewsexy.com, just like my book. And my book explains all this, but then if you really need extra help, the lab tests are great because then they tell us if you do need more magnesium or you do need a female hormone balancer, or if you need DHEA or your cortisol is too high. So it's really great to see exactly where you are because no two people are the same.
And how long does it usually take when someone orders the saliva test?
So if you order the saliva test, I will mail it that day to you. It takes about 2 days to get to you.
Uh-huh.
And then the results come to me in about a week after you mail it off.
Mm-hmm.
So then what I like to do is a Skype visit or a phone visit and go over the test with you and go over exactly what your body's showing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the tests range from anywhere from $50 to $400, depending on what we're testing.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the information about the saliva and urine tests is on my website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happythenewsexy.com. And click on lab testing, and it's a really long page, but it shows everything that we can test for.
Mm-hmm.
I even test for food allergies as well, because that can be another factor that plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we can do these tests anywhere.
Great, good. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been very interesting, and it's interesting especially to me because I have been worked up for thyroid, and I've had problems with my adrenal occasionally up and down, and so some of the things are, you know, hitting home as far as I'm concerned. So I know,
right.
And it affects so many people that I know this will be helpful to those that are concerned about their hormone system or have had problems with it. Do you use some of the non-traditional, let me ask, such as Armour for thyroid?
I do. Don't use Armour specifically.
Uh-huh.
What I use in my office is standard process brand or NutriWest brand supplements. They're only sold through doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a certified traditional naturopath. And so I match up what you need. So, yes, I definitely use more non-traditional. So if someone is showing a thyroid problem, I would either see if they just need something like the magnesium and iodine to balance it out, or do they need what we call a PMG? And so a PMG would be like the armor. It has bovine thyroid in it to get your thyroid working again. And I also use some herbs as well, but mostly everything I use is whole food supplements. So everything is just made from food that's just giving you the nutrition that you need so that your body can heal itself. I don't do anything chemical. Everything is just safe and whole foods and really healing and nurturing to the body. Standard Process actually has a saying that disease is not a drug deficiency, and I love that because it's really great to teach people that whatever's going on in their body, they're not deficient in a chemical drug. They're deficient in nutrients. And so we figure out what those deficiencies are and fix them, and then your body's able to work like it's supposed to for you.
That's great, because I understand that so many of the traditional interpretations of tests are not always the most accurate from the patient point of view. And so more and more alternative physicians seem to be looking at patient symptoms and responses and less at some of the traditional testing, so that, say, the TSH is not always accurate. It's more, you mentioned the T3 and the T4 are also necessary. And I don't, you know, I went to the endocrinologist, and I'm not, he never did order a T3. He ordered the T4, but, you know, I think the T3, isn't that also very important?
It's all important, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, it's all important. And what I look at more, too, is I do a biomeridian test in my office, but I do an online test for people that aren't able to come to the office. And I look at more how hard is the body working to do its job, not where the body is at. And I explain this to my patients. My office is in Colorado. We have a lot of mountains here. And I explain it as you can pull a trailer up a mountain at 65 miles an hour with your pickup. Or you can drive your truck 65 miles an hour without a trailer up the mountain, but how hard is your truck working to get there? Your miles per gallon is going to be way lower pulling the trailer 65 miles an hour than with an empty truck. And so our bodies are the same. We can be staying at that correct number. We can, our body will do everything it can for us to keep us at the right level. So it will keep us at that 65 miles an hour. It'll keep our numbers within range as long as it can. So blood tests and stuff doesn't show how hard your body's working to keep you at that range. And so that's more what I look at. Are you inflamed? Is your thyroid inflamed from overworking to keep you at that range? More than just what are your ranges?
Great, good. So I agree. I like this philosophy, and I appreciate, again, Dr. Cammy, your spending time with me and providing this information for the listeners. So I thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much.
My second guest, Dr. David J. Barchek, is the Chief Executive Officer of All in Wellness. Dr. Barchek earned his Doctorate of Chiropractic degree in 1994 from Life Chiropractic College and has a robust chiropractic practice that includes four locations across southern Louisiana. Dr. Barchek has dedicated his life to living well and helping others do the same. His motivation stems from the early sickness and death of his father when he was a teenager. This experience has charged him to author a book called Wellness Wake-Up Call, which challenges readers to take ownership of their health. Dr. Barchek practices what he preaches by maintaining a healthy diet and finds the time to exercise 4 or 5 days a week. He and his wife, Dr. Colleen Barchek, also motivate young people to stay fit by coaching a competitive swim team. More information is available at http://allinwellness.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Barchek, and I look forward to hearing about assessing wake-up calls for wellness. Now first, what exactly is a wake-up call?
Well, a wellness wake-up call is one that, first let me describe a catastrophic one. You know, so we all know people that have had a scary event in their life, a heart attack or a stroke scare, and it kind of makes them change the way that they live their life. So my point is that in order to have a catastrophic wellness wake-up call like that, you've probably missed at least a dozen small ones and ignored them. So the point of my book is to challenge people with tiny little wake-up call challenges that if they struggle with, they might have a problem and they can fix them before they become a big problem.
Mm-hmm. And as a chiropractor, why did you want to write a book on wellness?
Well, and you know, it's I've been treating patients for 20 years, and a big part of my practice is, you know, motivating people to live a healthier life. So after practicing that long and telling, you know, my patients how to live, I decided that I probably had enough info for a book and to guide people into healthier lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. And in your book, you have a lot of information on the brain. Can you tell us why you put so much emphasis on the brain?
Well, I did a bunch of postgraduate work in neurology, and I find that in the course of my treating patients, most people really don't appreciate the thing they're carrying between their ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like to just kind of create awareness and get people thinking about what their brains do every day, and a lot of diseases that affect us later in life are diseases of brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, these are all things that affect us when we're supposed to be as a people enjoying the fruits of our labor and in retirement. And the research really shows that we have a good bit of control over whether or not we contract one of these brain diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts when we're in our 20s and we're in our 30s, and there are ways to stimulate your brain and make sure that your brain stays healthy. Because look, we're all losing brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every day, and it really accelerates after the age of 50. And the research is showing that the more we challenge our brain and stimulate our brain during our younger years, the more of those brain cells we can afford to lose in our later years without having deleterious effects on our lifestyle. So
mm-hmm.
There's a couple of chapters in my book about brain, and I think people will find it helpful and stimulating, you know.
Great. I'm glad I took care of my brain when I was younger, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and you know, I talk about, you know, being in the conscious brain, right? So when we're in our unconscious brain, that means we're on autopilot. So, and everybody's had this happen to them, where you wake up, you do the same thing every day. You know, you get in the shower, you have your coffee, and you're on the way to work, and you get to work, and you don't even remember driving there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you're on autopilot. And more research is showing the more time we spend in our unconscious brain, the worse it is for us. So it's challenging people to kind of shake themselves awake and be in the conscious brain and decide and be aware of the things that are going on around them and how to challenge yourself, not only mentally, but physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then what makes your book on wellness wake-up call different from other wellness books?
Well, I think it's unique in that, you know, it's not a weight loss book. It's not an exercise book. You know, I have a chapter on fitness. I have a chapter on food, but it's not a diet book. You know, and I think the fact that I spend so much time on the brain, it is quite a bit different from the books that I've seen. And you know, I also go into my idea of wellness is brain, body, spirit. You know, so it's I call it the trifecta in the book. And so there's a chapter on relationships, and there's a chapter on spirituality, and how our relationships contribute to our feeling of wellness or sickness, and how on the spiritual side that can really, really affect your well-being. So I think it is a unique approach to wellness.
Right. When I had lung cancer, the doctor gave me all the physical things to do, but it seemed like there was more to it than that. So I added the mental and the spiritual, because they are all interrelated, and I consider the spiritual as important as all the physical aspects that the doctor gave me.
It could be. I mean, really and truly, it could be more important. Obviously, the point of my book is that there's so much overlap and integration between the physical, the mental, and the spiritual that you really can't separate them. I mean, we separate them out to talk about them in chapters, but there's so much integration into how your spirit, and spirituality, to be clear, is not religion,
right?
So it is really, there are a few things in regards to spirituality that I consider, and really that the research shows, it's kindness, forgiveness, and gratitude, right? So those three tenets really are integrated in most religions, right? Kindness, forgiveness, and gratitude. If you look at Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, they all have these three tenets. And, it's just a difference in how it's discussed. But I think talking about those three terms outside of religion is a good idea, because we want to incorporate everyone regardless of their religious beliefs.
Right.
And everybody can agree on those three things, that if you're kind to people, I mean, it feels good, right? I mean, it feels good when you go out of your way to help someone, and that's good for your soul, and that's good for your well-being. And to have gratitude is hugely important, and I think, you know, in today's day and age, especially in the United States, it's easy for people to forget how good they have it, and how grateful that they should be just for the life that they have, living in the United States and having the freedoms that we have and so on, you know, where in other countries maybe they don't have the same thing. So I think regardless of where you are socioeconomically or in a relationship, I think if you start with being grateful for the day, you're going to have you're going to be more well, and you're going to feel better, and that's going to spill over into your physical well-being.
Right. Now, in your book, you talk a lot about creating a sense of urgency, and why is that so important for wellness?
Well, and that comes from really from me. That's always how I've kind of lived my life, and I think the here and now, getting it done right now, is something that a lot of people are missing, especially in when it comes to our own person, right? Because we're all busy, we're all running, running to work, running the kids here and there, and it's easy to do other things and not take care of ourselves, and we always put those things off to, oh yeah, I know I need to start an exercise program, I'll do that later. I know I need to start eating more fruits and vegetables, I'll do that later. I know I need to pay attention to my well-being, but I'm too busy for that right now. And before you know it, 10 or 15 years goes by, and now your quality of life has changed, right? Creating that urgency to create a better life for yourself and a better well-being for yourself is just always been one of my goals, because I always find that people push it away, push it away, push it away. It's easy to do, mm-hmm. to procrastinate. So there's no time like the present to make those things happen. And, you know, we have warnings on our vehicles. You know, your car has a warning sign when, hey, it needs a service, or it needs a tune-up, or it needs an oil change. And most people really take better care of their cars than they do of the vehicles that are carrying them around, mm-hmm. when they're walking, you mm-hmm. know. So it's just trying to get people to in the here and now, and like I said, in their conscious brain, and just being urgent about being well, because when you stop to, when you have a catastrophic wake-up call, it's almost too late, because you've lost some quality of life already. And, you know, getting people those emotional triggers of being with their kids and their grandkids and long into life can create that urgency, and that's what I try to do.
Mm-hmm. You also, Dr. Barczyk, have a chapter on flexibility. And why is flexibility important?
Well, that's probably, it starts out sounding like that. That's the chapter where I'm probably truest to my mm-hmm. my training as a chiropractic physician, you know. But flexibility, I integrate movement into the flexibility chapter, because you know, when our muscles are stiff, obviously there's tons of people that have musculoskeletal problems mm-hmm. later in life. But when your muscles are less flexible, there's evidence to show that so are the arteries that carry your blood, right? So if we have stiff muscles, that means our arteries are going to be less flexible, and they'll be more rigid, so we can actually have more cardiovascular problems. Again, there's always overlap in the physical and the mental and even in within those realms. So and I think it stems from mostly the sedentary nature of most people's lifestyles now. You know, mm-hmm. we've evolved from an agricultural society where most people were farming and growing their own food, and now most folks sit behind a desk in an air-conditioned space for 7 or 8 hours. And then, you know, they go and exercise or walk around on the weekend, but that type of lack of activity has significant effects not only on your musculoskeletal system, but on your cardiovascular system. So mm-hmm. getting people up and moving, more flexible, challenging their bodies to do a little bit more can go a long, long way.
I'll tell you, my brother died last year at 91. And he was chopping wood up until he developed lung cancer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way you want to go, right? If you had to go, chopping wood would be the way to go at 91, right?
Right.
I mean, but you know, I tell this story in the book that, you know, Louisiana is where I am, and there's still a good bit of agriculture going on down here with mm-hmm. Sugar cane and soybeans and such, and I treat a good bit of farmers, and you know, these guys are 80 something mm-hmm. and they're still out there sweating it out, you know, and I think there's something to that, right? So
yeah.
if you think about back in the day when the farmers would wake up early and they'd eat breakfast, what would they eat for breakfast? They'd eat eggs and bacon mm-hmm. and biscuits and it really almost didn't matter that they ate that, because they were out every day in the field sweating it out, right?
Right, right.
Now we eat that eggs and bacon and biscuits, and we go sit behind a desk in the 72 degrees, right? So
right.
If you want to be fit and healthy later in life, then you have to stay moving, and you got to sweat a little, you got to struggle a little. And that's really mm-hmm. the premise behind my book, too, is that struggle makes us stronger, right? So in a physical sense, we struggle, we exercise, we get physically strong. Mentally, if we make our brain struggle, then our brain stays strong, and even emotionally, right? I mean, a little emotional struggle right now is every now and again is good for you.
Right. Well, the research also shows the value of exercise and all, and even for cancer, which is amazing, you know, because you think of exercise and being active for weight loss, for heart problems, for diabetes, et cetera, but you don't think of it in terms of cancer, but the research shows the same. And the other comment I wanted to make in relation to your statements is, yes, we are more sedentary, and we can't eat the same foods because we aren't as active, but also the food has changed. So it's not just, you know, humans that have changed, but our food supply is different. It's much more polluted, you know, than
well,
it was.
Well, I mean, the food supply is different because of what humans do to the food.
Right,
in other words,
right.
The food supply is different because we have evolved from people that used to prepare our own
mm-hmm,
food,
mm-hmm.
and now we rely on other folks to prepare our food for us. So my food chapter discusses, you know, it's centered on what's in your pantry, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my challenge is for people to look, I understand that everybody's busy and having whole foods every day for dinner might not be possible for some folks, but if we're going for a partial, right? So
mm-hmm,
if we commit to a couple, 2-3 days a week, we're gonna prepare our own food, and they're gonna be simple ingredients. In other words, if you go in your pantry and you read what's on the labels, if you can't pronounce the words on the labels, you got a problem, right? I mean,
right.
So there's something to preparing your own food and having something simple on your plate, like, you know, a piece of fish, some broccoli, and a baked potato. I mean, there's nothing in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's
mm-hmm.
there's nothing anybody had to do to any of that if you buy your fish and your vegetables the right way. So it's important for sure. And what you said about the cancer and exercise, absolutely. You know, 75% of America's healthcare costs are
mm-hmm.
for preventable
mm-hmm.
diseases. And research is showing that most cancers are preventable, right? I mean, if we do the right things. Now, obviously, there are some things that we can't explain. The events in time where you have a small child that develops a brain tumor, and look, there's always going to be things that we can't explain. But
right.
but by and large, most cancers, lung cancer, colon cancer, are in some ways related to the decisions that we make our entire life. And that's the point of the book and the creating the urgency
mm-hmm.
is that
mm-hmm.
we have control.
Mm-hmm.
You have control over what happens to you from a health standpoint. And you have to seize that control in order to have the high quality of life at the end of life.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Dr. Barchek, we can't always just read labels, because I think of genetically modified foods. And the big problem that we've had trying to get labeling of the genetically modified foods. So, you know, even Vermont that recently passed the legislation, some of the food industries have already lined up to sue Vermont. So even reading labels doesn't always tell us what's in the food that we're eating. And
yeah,
so
completely
driven.
True. And,
mm-hmm.
and again, I'm...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I 100% agree with you, but if we have people being conscious, right? So my goal is to not create everyone growing their own food, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that's not really reality. So
right.
my goal is we have people now that eat and don't even know what they're eating, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
so if we just create the consciousness and the awareness,
mm-hmm.
and we take baby steps into having people be aware of the foods that they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that
mm-hmm.
fast food is a way of life in America. I don't do it, right? But
no.
but
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lecture people on not going to one of the fast food chains. What we can do, though, is even when we do that, we can make better choices about the foods that we buy at the fast food chain. You see what I mean? So we're just trying to move people in the direction, and we can help the country out in a great way. We can help ourselves out in a great way if we're moving towards that, and people are becoming more aware of the things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I would have added one more thing to a holistic approach to wellness, and that would have been the political process, because that also influences our health. You've included, you know, relationships, you've included the food supply, you've included all of the things, the physical, mental, spiritual, all the things that are really an important aspect of a holistic approach to wellness. But I think that politics is also the last piece that might be included if you revise your book, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think when we look at the political process is people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so really and truly, it's people.
Mm-hmm.
So and when we talk about spirituality and gratitude, you know, if people move towards kindness, forgiveness, and gratitude, then the political process improves. And my mother told me, you don't ever talk about religion and politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's one of those things where I don't disagree with you, but that subject there would be probably more disagreement on than any of the other subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so much overlap that if we get people moving into kindness, forgiveness, and gratitude, then the political process can naturally kind of fix itself if you believe that's even possible, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't. And again, I believe that, you know, people need to be involved in doing something about genetically modified foods in terms of getting health care for everyone without all of this bickering about it, in terms of getting alternative treatments, because people have to pay for these now. So there are things that, you know, many things, I think, that we can get involved with groups that are advocating these, if we believe this, and help move it along a little bit quicker. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably a discussion
for another
show. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Then, overall, what do you see as the first step people should take toward wellness?
Well, I think the first thing is being aware, you know, that there's creating that awareness in people is what I'm going for. Being aware that you have a problem that is fixable and that it's really in your hands to fix it. And believing that you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause without the belief that you can, then it's probably not going to happen, you know? So I think if people are more aware, again, more in their conscious brain, not just about their brain activity, but about their healthy activity, it goes a huge way, and they have to believe that the changes are doable and that they have the power to do it. And that's essentially the first big step.
Great. Then, Dr. Barchak, can you tell us about your services and how the listeners can reach you and locate your book?
Yeah, they can. The book is due to be released on June 24th. It'll be on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble. It's called Wellness Wake-Up Call. My website is allinwellness.com. And, you know, they can go, my email's on there. They can read about what my wellness company does, and they can also ask me questions about the book and email me if they'd like to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much. It's been interesting, and I always like to hear about wellness, since that's what my second master's and doctorate were in. Interesting. I'm also happy that you're taking a holistic approach, because I strongly believe in that, and many people do not.
Appreciate the dialogue. Glad you're doing what you're doing, and I'm glad you had me on the show.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Bye. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week, and I hope to see you again next time.